Joe Cowley is at the winter meetings. Joe Cowley, our guy from the Sun-Times and the Score down at the winter meetings. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. Your latest tweet is concerning, or disconcerting, I suppose, was the word. Joe Cowley, your latest tweet says that Paul Konerko wants $15 million. His camp is adamant about that total, and that number would crush the payroll for relief. I thought Paulie was not as much about the money. What is this really going to break down because of 13 versus 15 million or something?
Well, he might not be about the money, but I think his agent is kind of drawing a line in the sand. And obviously that's negotiable. The big thing right now is the baseball people are talking to Jerry Reinsdorf and trying to convince him that there can be life without Paul Konerko. From all indications, Jerry really wants Konerko back in the fold. At the same time, the baseball people, and there's actually some baseball people I've talked to that feel like they can be better if they pass on Konerko and go with the plan B and plan C and take that extra money and put it towards the bullpen, that they can be a better all-around team. So, you know, we'll see who wins that battle, and we'll see if this is just posturing. You know, the second day of the winter meetings, I think Konerko's camp is probably finding out that the first base market isn't as fun as they would hope it would be, just because it's kind of flooded and there's a lot of options. And you know, the Sox are willing to exercise one of those options if they're not hearing what they like. So I think that's where things are right now this morning. Obviously, it's something that's fluid and can change, but as of right now, it's that's where it stands.
Are we talking about, when you talk about those plan B's and plan C's, second or third tier free agents like Lyle Overbay or Adam LaRoche or Derek Lee, as crazy as that would be, those kind of names? Or are we talking about doing it in-house and mixing in some Adam Dunn, God forbid, at first base?
Well, Adam Dunn will see some first base no matter what. I think that's, they will, you know, he's going to be that Sunday guy, that lineup that everybody complains about on Sunday when Ozzy puts it together. And so, you know, LaRoche and Derek Lee are obviously pretty big options. I think they like Lee's defense and what he brings from a leadership standpoint. And you're talking about a guy that significantly will save you some money compared to what Konerko brings. I mean, there's guys out there, and the Sox seem willing to move on without it. Now, in-house is a little tougher, because then you're talking about Vicieto and Dunn at first base, and you might as well go barehand softball with those guys. I mean, I don't know if you want either of them finding their glove, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But I don't think in-house would be if something went really, really wrong.
Hey, Joe, am I wrong in thinking that Paul Konerko's agent works for Paul Konerko? And if he really wants to be a member of the Chicago White Sox, and as much as he says he does, and I know he has issues that he has to deal with family-wise, but the $2 million, if that was the sticking point and he really wanted to be a member of the White Sox, wouldn't he tell his agent, hey, we're going to get this done?
Yeah, you know, that's the ideal fairy tale Jerry Maguire type of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is that these guys also have to answer to a union and have to answer to other players. And there's a little pride involved. I mean, you see Adam Dunn making $15 million his last 2 years, and you see the year Konerko's coming off of, and he made $12 million last year. You know, you can't justify a pay cut. The Sox would love it if it was a $10 million a year deal. They would, you know, do that in a second. $12 million is what he just made after coming off one of his better years. That's kind of a tough sell. So, you're somewhere lost in between that 12 to 15 range. And, it doesn't seem like it's a lot, but when you talk over 3 years, which the deal possibly would be, you're talking possibly $6 million. I mean, that's a couple players that could really help you out. So that's what's being weighed. That's what's being talked about. And I think that's what is being negotiated. I still think that both sides really want this to happen, but it's just kind of a little posturing right now.
All these factors are valid, Joe. You know, it sounds like the kind of stuff that goes on in big-time negotiations for a serious player, and I won't discount that pride factor at all. He's got a right to get a slight bump in year one, but maybe they work it out where there's a depreciating number to help out on the back end, just like Dunn and AJ have helped with, you know, deferring some money to help out on the front end. I still get the sense that they're going to work this out, because I don't know what the other options truly are. Is Arizona really in play or not?
No, Arizona's out. They've been out for a couple days now. Unless they find some money somewhere, they're kind of strapped. I mean, that's an organization that money-wise has been strapped the last couple years. So they're out. the Cubs, that was the talk, that they're looking for first baseman. And they are, but they're in that second tier of Carlos Peña's and guys like that. I don't think they're ready to put another contract out there for $15 million per. Sorry, it's just they're kind of painting themselves in the corner. So where is it going to come from? Is there a sleeping team that no one's thinking about? Is it a team that feels like he can just be a DH for him? I mean, you know, it only takes one team. That's the thing. But yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I think that was one of the tweets I had just sent out, that for it to work out, some money would have to be backloaded. And so, you know, we'll see.
I have a theory on how you do this. And, you know, I've always been a guy saying, look, you overpay for Konerko. This is a guy that you overpay for if you need to. And that includes a third year guaranteed, which might be dead money. And I don't like the idea of doing it, but I think this is a guy you do it for. Because if you get Konerko and have Konerko end done in the middle of the lineup, then you're really talking about something special. I know that limits your bullpen options, but here's my idea on the bullpen, Joe. I want to know what you think. Santos and Thornton as your lefty-righty setups. And let Chris Sale stay there and close for the year. You know,
absolutely.
You know, absolutely. You know he can do it. Don't mess with trying to put him in the rotation. I think you've had it proven now. You know he can do it. Then you pick up a couple of cheap righties. Maybe you take Jesse Crane from Minnesota. He's available. Scott Downs from Toronto. Kerry Wood is in the news. I don't know. Something's like that. Cheap options. Let Chris Sale stay there and do that job.
I absolutely think Chris Sale is not only should be a closer from first day of spring. Obviously, they should stretch him out just in case. But should be the closer from first day of spring, but should be the closer for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years for this team. I mean, he's got that kind of stuff. You know, I don't understand the idea that just because he's a young guy, he should be looked at as a starter because that's what he was in college. You put your best bullets in the best spot that's going to win you games. And to me, you know, I like Matt Thornton and what he can do in the ninth inning, but there's just something about Matt Thornton that the flexibility of being able to use him 7-8 certain matchups, certain guys he overwhelms. I think that's invaluable. And Chris Sale to me is that guy that could lock down the ninth. The wild card in that is: are you going to get what you got from Sergio Santos last year? That's kind of a wild card. And we've seen the Cliff Polites and the Neil Cotts be 1 year wonders and kind of sizzle after that. So,
but they're all they're all wild cards. Linebrink was a wild card.
Yeah, but there's a little more of a track record and a resume when you talk about a Matt Thornton.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Unless he's injured or something, obviously they're all wild cards. Chris Sale could come in and be awful, mm-hmm. but I'd rather take my chances with a guy that's been pitching most of his life than a guy that picked up a baseball a couple of years ago because he was winning bets because he threw 100 and became a pitcher. To me, that's a little more of a wild card than a guy that's been doing it for a while. So, let's not rule out Carlos Peña. I mean, he's, you know, he's that middle relief guy, seventh or eighth, but he showed a lot last year. And that's a guy I wouldn't mind seeing them, you know, tinker with in the eighth inning against a tough right-hander or a guy that he has a history with. So, you know, I think there are some options. But when you just look at it on paper, it's just kind of blah. It feels a little empty. And I think they sleep better at night knowing there's a couple more weapons down there.
Yeah, Tony Peña. You got Carlos on the brain with first base.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, but it's understandable. Peña was pretty good in that role in Arizona and started to find a little bit last year. I guess my point in the wild cards is that these right-handers, these seventh and eighth inning right-handers all around baseball end up feeling like such a crapshoot. They really do. Linebrink is dominant in San Diego and awful here. He could go to Atlanta and be good there. Maybe Peña finds it. Maybe is Kerry Wood a real possibility? I saw you tweeted something about that, or Ken Rosenthal tweeted something about that. Have you heard anything about that?
He might be a little pricey, but if they do go a different option and don't go with Konerko, then I definitely think Kerry Wood comes into play. So they really have to. They're sitting and waiting. They're trying to get this done before they can move on. And Jerry Reinsdorf really wants to sit and be patient with this. I think if it was up to Kenny, he'd be willing to move on by tonight or tomorrow. But I think they may have to wait a little bit longer because you're paying for the legend of Paul Konerko. You're not just paying. You know, he might not have the same value on another team because he doesn't mean as much. He's not the Pauly chance, and he doesn't have that 88-year World Series ring that he broke. You know, that big thing that weighed on the Sox shoulders of 88 years of not having a championship. And he was the face, one of the faces of that World Series. And you know, don't think that well played by him, given the Reinsdorf the baseball at the parade, because obviously that endeared Reinsdorf to him even more, and so I think You know, he's like their Derek Jeter. You have to pay a little more than he would get on the open market. And it's just a matter of if Landis taking advantage of that with the Sox, or is there really is he justified in doing that because the market dictates that? And you know, the Worth deal didn't help anybody. And then, you know, Kenny was very glad to get done before Worth.
Yeah.
The Worth deal with the Nationals went down because that kind of messed up some things, especially, you know, on the Carl Crawford front and some other guys like that. So. You know, we'll see where it all plays out.
Quickly, Joe, you mentioned Vicedo earlier in the conversation. I want to know organizationally, where do they stand as far as Vicedo and Jared Mitchell and Jordan Danks, some of these guys that might have to fill some of these holes, if not at the beginning of the season, throughout the season. Are they comfortable enough to throw some of these guys in there and say, hey, give us a couple of weeks or start the season for us, and having them count on some of these younger players?
Well, if they trade Carlos Quinn, then you know they feel really good at least about two of those guys, whether it's Danks or it's Jared Mitchell. Mitchell is just all about the ankle. Did he recover from the surgery? Before that injury, the way he came into camp, they were pretty excited that this guy's ready to take over when Juan Pierre's deal is done, as that leadoff guy and that weapon on top of the lineup and even a guy that has a little pop. Jordan Danks has regressed. I mean, you look at his numbers and where he was 2 years ago defensively. He's still really good, but offensively he looked lost last year. You're kind of on that same track with Tyler Flowers, and that hurt the organization. I think they were willing to move forward on both those guys, Danks and Flowers. Now you have to scratch your head and say, okay, was with what we saw 2 years ago the real guy or last year? So they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde with those two guys. Vicedo, I mean, there's no doubt that the power's there. The question is, where can you play him? And can he adjust to the off-speed stuff and seeing pitchers twice and all that kind of stuff that we talk about with a young guy? So I don't think you could just hand him anything. He has to earn it.
All right, Joe Cowley, great stuff. We'll be reading your tweets and such from the winter meetings. Thanks, buddy.
All right, you guys take care.